Hey, everybody. The FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, is going after Trump supporters and allies in pre-dawn raids in a way that we've never seen before. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, as we're joined by Russ Vogt to help unpack it. Take out your phone and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, and take out your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. You can email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and come to our Turning Point USA's Student Action Summit, tpusa.com/SAS, tpusa.com/SAS. The speakers are incredible, 5,000-plus people. We're going to have Trump and DeSantis there with Turning Point Action, Kayleigh McEnany, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, and others, tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. We touched on this a little bit last week, but we cannot take our eye off how there has been this sudden shift nationally of the FBI targeting and raiding Trump officials, Trump allies, and Trump voters. It happened so quickly last week. It happened in Nevada. It happened in Texas. And it also happened in Washington, D.C. It's an orchestrated, coordinated agenda against political opponents. How this is not the most just horrifying story in the country right now is beyond me. I've been waiting for more conservative media to talk about this, and it just hasn't yet hit. But that's not going to stop us. And for all of you in the grassroots, you have to know that there is this orchestrated plan happening right now. To help us unpack this is Russ Vogt. He is the president of the Center for Renewing America and former White House OMB director. And he also is very close with Jeffrey Clark, who was raided last week by the Department of Justice. Russ, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thanks for having me, Charlie. Appreciate it.
So, Russ, walk us through what happened last week with Jeff.
Well, Jeff's house was raided in a pre-dawn manner. The Department of Justice came to him, over a dozen officials, law enforcement officials, including those from Fairfax County Police Department. They were there to raid his house, to search it, to take his electronics. They didn't let him change. They didn't let him get into a pair of jeans. They took him out and made him be in his pajamas for over a number of hours. A complete show of intimidation. And for those of you who are following the news like you do, Charlie, you know that that coincided with the fact that he was going to be the focus of the January 6th hearings, the sham hearings going on Capitol Hill. So on a very in the same week that all of the exposure was designed to show that he was at the forefront of a law enforcement investigation to show that this is the person that they were trying to demonize as part of these hearings. And, of course, this is just follow-on from Peter Navarro. It's follow-on from Steve Bannon, other GOP officials that were trying to get a handle on election investigation were the brunt of similar targeting last week. I know that the situation with Jeff better than the others. But this is the weaponization, this is the criminalization of politics that we have not seen in this country in quite some time, if ever. And it is scary. It is something that we all need to stand up and have patriots across the country articulate the concerns and not let us go to this dark place.
Well, we're there, right? And so I'm not really sure what to do about this. I have some theories. They need to fear as if the rule of law also applies to all people, but that's a separate issue for a different time. We're not really talking about that right now. But they feel so above it, they don't care. They're going to use the force of the state against their political opponents. So Jeffrey Clark was a Department of Justice official. What is the crime that they're alleging he might have participated in?
We don't know, Charlie. I mean, we don't know. We tried to get a sense, or Jeff's lawyers tried to get a sense as part of the the warrant, and they have not revealed the legal claim is there. Obviously, the left believes that he was up to no good in trying to investigate what millions of people across this country, and it was now been documented that there was widespread fraud in the last election. And Jeff was one of the few people at the Department of Justice, I would say probably the only one, that said, we have a problem here. The president wants to investigate it to make sure we know and get our arms wrapped around a problem. And Jeff tried to do that. And as a result, he felt he faced the opposition of the career first lawyers that were surrounding him. And we need public officials that are willing, when they are asked to serve by a president of the United States who wants to go along with his commitments to the American people, we need public officials that are not scared about not getting their next job because they're unwilling to do their current job. Jeff was not. And that's one of the reasons why we are thrilled to have hired him at the Center for Renewing America, is because we want to provide a platform for people like Jeff. And I think, where do we go from here, Charlie? I think that's one of the places that we can do in the next weeks and months, is we've got to make sure that Republicans who are scared to talk about election integrity, Republicans who are scared of their shadow with regard to January 6th and are still living in the fetal position as if somehow the conservative movement did something wrong as a result of that. That's not the case. We've learned that. That's not the case. And we don't need this. We don't need to be able to move forward and be able to defend those who were working at the Department of Justice, was never at January 6th, to be able to defend someone like Jeff Clark. We need everyone to stand up and say, you know what? I stand with that guy. I want to work with that guy, and I want to work with him now and in the future. And we don't need Republicans to be quiet. And right now, too many Republicans are quiet.
Yeah, so I suppose longer term, though, people feel as if standing up, what does that even do, right? I mean, they're not going to stop. So what is the kind of game plan here? They're going to try to arrest every single political opponent. They spied on Tucker Carlson. They raided James O'Keefe's apartment. They raided Rudy Giuliani. Bannon is standing trial. They arrested Navarro. They went after Stone. They went after Flynn. They went after Manafort. It's like if you're on the chessboard, they try to go after you. So longer term, like, what is the structural plan here besides just kind of voicing outrage?
Yeah, the long-term plan is to structurally change it. We've got to deconstruct the state that is weaponized against the American people. As conservatives are no longer in power right now, now is the time to be building those plans, to be assessing exactly how to do this, to be able to seize these control of these agencies and to ensure that they can no longer be weaponized against the American people. So the Department of Justice cannot call parents who show up at concerned at school board meetings and say, you're a domestic terrorist. So those are long-term reforms that we can articulate, we can propose, we can build the support for. Right now, though, is when people need to articulate their outrage, because they can't arrest all the people that we have on our side. They can't arrest 70 million people.
Well, they can't arrest 70 million, but they'll arrest 700. They already have, right?
And again, even with the January 6th, if Republicans in Congress themselves would just stand up and not make this, five, six Republican conservatives that go to the courthouse, that would not be able to stand. It is able to stand because the right is not unified to get out there and say this is unacceptable. Because the Republicans who serve in government, people like myself, are not out there and saying this is wrong and we're not going to allow this to stand. If the Republican side stands up in mass and says this is unacceptable, it will not go on. In the same sense that yes, they are investigating parents for being domestic terrorists, but they have not gone to the extent to which they have actually put them in court. And that's where we are. There are extreme storm clouds. But if people stand up and say, this is not the America that we are living in, nor is it one that we will accept, we have a chance to change this before we have the opportunity to take back these agencies on behalf of the American people.
I think we have to think creatively, though. All they understand is force. All they understand is power. They don't care if we get outraged. They need to realize that there is a cost to their action. I don't know what that is, right? But this kind of they are going to continue. I mean, we can keep writing letters or op-eds in the Wall Street Journal. They spied on Trump. They didn't care. No one get help be held accountable. And now Truth Social is being subpoenaed by a New York grand jury. I don't know if you saw that today. But where they're at is they're willing to use handcuffs and leg irons, and we use press releases. So, Russ,
I agree on that point for sure. I agree. This starts in with a new Republican-controlled Congress. We're investigating. They're having to have the same experience of accountability for sure.
Great. Russ, thank you for speaking out. Not enough people are. That is important. And we stand against this incredibly just treacherous overreach of power of the government. Thank you so much, Russ Vogt. Really appreciate it. Center for American Renewal. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're blessed to live in the greatest nation ever to exist in the history of the world. Luke 12:48 says, quote, "To whom much has been given, much will be required." We as Christians can shape our world. One of these ways is how we steward our finances and our money. If you have money in stocks, you have the power to affect change through your investments. Jesus spoke about money in roughly 15% of his teachings and 11 out of 39 of his parables. How do we follow his teachings about money? Well, my friends at Pax Financial can help. I've opened an account with them. I think very highly of them. They are fiduciaries that will make sure you have a responsible plan to retire. I trust them with my money, and I hope you will as well. But look, they will also help you invest in companies that align with your beliefs. No companies that engage in pornography or in excessive drinking or in a degenerate lifestyle. If you have $150,000 to invest, please text my name, Charlie, to the number 74868. And even if you don't have $150,000, maybe they'll make an exception for you. I don't know, but just learn more about them. Look, text Charlie to 74868. Take advantage of the power to make a difference with your money. Pax Financial. It was great for me. I think it will be terrific for you. There is a massive lie that is living over our society right now. And the lie is somehow that children, teenagers, need to have sexual reassignment surgery or puberty blockers. Now, most of the sexual reassignment surgery and puberty blockers is administered to young girls. Why? We talked about this last evening with Steve Smotherman at his church, Legacy Church. Young girls in particular are more likely to succumb to peer pressure, and also they're more likely to voice and also, let's say, communicate anxiety when it comes to puberty. It's a clinical fact. And the TikTok social contagion, which again, I've said for quite some time, TikTok is a virus on society and that no parent should allow their kid to first have a smartphone until they're 18. But I've lost that battle and that's fine. Parents disagree. Parents want their kids to have smartphones. I think they're terrible, but okay. But then at the very least, don't allow to have TikTok on your kid's phone. There is no argument for that, period. And so this kind of idea of transitioning and changing your gender has become glamorized and popularized. And as beautifully articulated in Matt Walsh's movie, What is a Woman? A lot of young girls, when they're 12, 13, or 14, they're going through body changes, hormones are raging, they're feeling things they never felt before, and therefore they think incorrectly that they might actually be a man when in fact they are a girl becoming a woman. And this is not just some sort of isolated phenomenon. This is a widespread social contagion. And parents are being bullied. In fact, they are being morally blackmailed by doctors and the pharmaceutical industry, where they say, oh, well, would you rather have a dead daughter or a live son? It's moral blackmail is what ends up happening. And Levine, born as Richard Levine, says that sexual reassignment surgery and puberty blockers for kids is a life-saving, medically necessary, age-appropriate, and critical tool. So the stated position of the Biden regime is that we need to have chemical castration for children because that's going to save their life. When in reality, a vast majority of these young ladies, and it's mostly young ladies, by the way, there's a fair amount of young men, but it's 70 to 80% young women. They need to be told by a figure, a father figure and a motherly figure, you're going through puberty and the anxiety that you might be experiencing will soon be over, and participating in irreversible damage of putting forth hormone blockers, puberty blockers, testosterone, and medication that we give rapists in prison is not a good or responsible decision. But the stated position of the Biden regime is children having social anxiety that are becoming adults, let's go fill them with more chemicals. Play cut five.
Gender-affirming care is life-saving, medically necessary, age-appropriate, and a critical tool for healthcare providers. As a pediatrician, when it comes to making sure kids are healthy and happy, I know how important care that affirmed someone's true identity can be.
Look, that man needs therapy. He should be nowhere near the, let's just say, the institution of government. I paused for a second because I asked, what was the logo behind him? It was the Democrat Party. How does that not violate the Hatch Act, by the way? They were going after all the Trump officials when all the Trump officials used to do anything remotely political. And so why is it that Levine can then do a DNC grassroots pride town hall? It's kind of interesting. Now, we have not just seen this in an isolated area. We are seeing parades, drag queens. Look, it's all connected. Abortion, Pride Month, deconstructionism, this radical trans ideology. It's an assault on norms, tradition, and parent involvement. As we are serious, if we are focused on building a parent's party, we must be unafraid of the names they're going to call us, and we should say no child in America should receive hormone blockers or puberty blockers. Now, if you are 20 or 22 years old and you want to make that decision, I don't approve of it. I think it's medically adventurous and not proven in scientific data, literature, reasoning, or morals. That's a separate question. But to then do irreversible damage to a 12 or 13 year old is where we must draw the line. We need laws to say this will not happen in our country. Hey, everybody. This Common Sense is brought to you by the folks at SecondVote.com. Amazing people who are fighting back against woke corporations. Subscribe now at SecondVote.com, promo code Charlie.
Good afternoon. I'm Rebecca Hatfield, president of Second Vote. We've had uniquely American common sense since 1776, but now we're in the age of common nonsense. Today's nonsense comes from the pro-abortion extremists protesting outside the home of Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. They were wearing clothes covered in fake blood and holding baby dolls. It's not just nonsense. It's downright disgusting and illegal if they hope to persuade Justice Barrett. But woke corporations are getting ready to use the dollars you spend to fund these extremists if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade. If you shop at places like Starbucks and Target, you can be sure they are giving your money to Planned Parenthood. So is it any wonder the new Gallup poll shows that the record-breaking 50% of Americans say that the U.S. has poor moral values? The poll also showed that the number of Americans who believe in God is at a historic low. Common sense tells us that these things are connected. The lies pushed by big tech, woke corporations, and our far-left government have begun to erode the morals and values of Americans by contradicting and assaulting what we know to be truth. They censor conservative voices and push views inconsistent with the long-held religious beliefs and eternal truth. That's why Second Vote is helping you to push back. At Second Vote, we do the research to expose big corporations by scoring hundreds of companies on traditional American and Judeo-Christian values. And Second Vote has been around for 10 years with the mission of empowering you with the research to make better choices with your money. So please make sure to arm yourselves every day with the knowledge you need to shop smart and stop funding the left. All the research you need is available at SecondVote.com. I'm Rebecca Hatfield, president of Second Vote, reminding you that your first vote is at the ballot box, but your second vote is with your wallet.
Make sure you go to SecondVote.com and subscribe now using promo code Charlie for just $40 for a whole year. That's SecondVote.com, promo code Charlie. We have Stephen Miller right now from America First Legal. We are about to do a very fun project with what we're doing at Turning Point USA. Stephen, welcome back to the program.
It's a great pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me back on.
Stephen, why don't you tell our audience what we plan to do together?
Well, this is the partnership that everybody, I think you can agree, has been wanting, Charlie. Everybody's been begging for it and asking for it. And who are we to say no? Which is a formal partnership between your organization, Turning Point USA, and mine, America First Legal, to sue the daylights out of woke schools and woke corporations.
Yes.
And this is very simple, which is Turning Point USA, which is the meeting ground, the organizing space, the recruiting ground, the philosophical center of young patriotic Americans. They will be the plaintiffs, the ones who are the victims of this illegal, whether it's the DEI agenda, and your audience will know what that is, diversity, equity, inclusion, whether it be any woke policy at your school, at your workplace, the victims of it, and then we'll supply the lawyers and we'll pay all the legal bills. So what we're saying is to all of the incredible, amazing people in TPUSA is look around you. Look at the jobs you're applying for. Look at the internships you're applying for. Look at your university career offices. I know that summer break, but that's exactly when people are out there looking for fellowships, internships, first jobs, maybe people who just graduated. Look at all of the programming at your university. And if your rights are being violated, or you know of someone whose rights are being violated, pretty much all of this is violative of your constitutional rights in one way or another, critical race theory, all of it. Get in touch with us, and we will partner together. We will get you the attorneys, and we will sue. We will sue your school. We will sue your college. We will sue your employer, your future employer, or the corporation that's locked its doors to you because they don't like your skin color. They don't like your gender. They don't like your sexual orientation. They don't like your faith. That's the program. That's the plan. We need each and every person who is in TPUSA, who is listening to this podcast today, again, look around you, talk to your friends, talk to your family, where your rights are being violated, where you have been a victim, where you have been deprived because of who you are or what you look like, reach out to us, and you can just go to our website at aflegal.org. That's aflegal.org. And again, if there's a case to be had, we'll provide the attorneys, and it's, as a charity, it's all pro bono.
And so tell us, Stephen, it's phenomenal, by the way. Can't wait to work with you on this. Give us some examples of what this might be. For example, black-only dormitories on college campuses or black-only graduation ceremonies.
Right, segregation is a great example. Yeah. So any segregation that's happening on your college campus, clearly segregation is prohibited by federal civil rights law. And you know, we passed a series of laws in the 1960s and others since then that would clearly prohibit racial segregation in any context. So if your campus or university has any kind of segregated programming, that is illegal. That is a lawsuit.
Yes.
And the victims of this are on both sides. I want to be very clear about this. You know, because you know, we all know that, for example, critical race theory, who are some of the people who are most passionately leading the charge against it? Right? These are Black families, Latino families, Asian families.
Yes, that's right.
Who are victimized by this horrific pedagogy that is completely racially essentialist, demeaning, denigrating, and Marxist. So if you're a student at a university and there's any kind of segregation, again, no matter which side of that segregation wall you're on, that's illegal. You can sue over that. DEI programming. So if you attend a university, I guarantee you have an office of diversity, equity, and inclusion, or something that's similarly named. If you look at that programming, I can assure you that a very large portion of it categorizes people in a discriminatory fashion, in a way that does not provide the equality of treatment under law that is mandated by federal civil rights statute. Radical gender ideology is another good example. Radical gender ideology has a lot of different, of course, applications in universities and workplaces today, but a lot of it violates religious liberty, violates the First Amendment, as well as, depending on its application, there's just more conventional civil damages that might apply.
So let me ask you a question, Stephen. Let me ask you, how is it then that these programs pass the muster of the in-house counsel at a lot of these universities?
Well, because our law firms have been totally captured by that's the whole problem. They've been totally captured by the woke left. And so they are sanctioning conduct that is manifestly illegal, manifestly unconstitutional, not to mention unethical. Critical race theory, which is the intellectual fountainhead of all of this, is an ideology that at its core, for those of you who are even passingly familiar with it, mandates discrimination as its base requirement, right? So in other words, CRT's sort of core ideology is that equality is bad.
Yes, that's exactly
right. Societal behavior has to be in some fashion discriminatory to achieve an end. So everything that grows out of that is illegal. Everything. Whether it be, again, in the gender context, you know, if you have some programming at university that is geared specifically towards, to use their acronym, LGBTQIA+, in a way that wouldn't be the same for, again, using their terminology, for a cisgender heterosexual, right? That would be an example of discrimination that would be illegal. And these are all carried over into the workplace too. And so if you have an environment in a workplace where, and this will also come into play for, again, a lot of the young people listening to this, I'll give you a very concrete example, Morgan Stanley. So Morgan Stanley has an internship program for college students that it bills as being a pathway to financial success in the financial sector. But you're only eligible for this internship if you are a very specific ethnicity or a very specific gender identity.
That's right.
And if you're not, then you are categorically ineligible. Well, that is completely illegal.
That's right.
So and any student
who
wanted to get that internship can sue.
So, I mean, and for example, Capital Street Partners, major firm out of Boston, says that white men can only be hired by unanimous consent of a committee. I suppose my question is, Stephen, I'm going to do my best wording this, but if it's so obviously illegal, what you're saying, though, is that the woke left that have captured the in-house counsels and captured these external law firms, do they know this is illegal and they just don't care? Or they just...
Yeah, probably. I don't pretend to have a smoking gun here. We'd all love it if we did, where I could say, you know, we have evidence, we have emails that the lawyers that are authorizing this stuff know that it's illegal. But my instinct, just having been around enough lawyers and enough settings for long enough, my instinct is they know that it is. But just like the doctors who go along with the AMA's chemical castration policies. That their thought process is, I'll have a seat at the table so I won't end up on the menu. But of course, the truth is for all collaborators with Marxism is that eventually the revolution will come for you too.
Seat at the table so I don't end up on the menu. Boy, does that describe the Republican Party. So let me ask you, Stephen, though, you know, for other people that are listening, this applies to jobs, internships, colleges, and also private schools, if I'm not mistaken. According to civil rights legislation.
Yes, this is an important point. Federal civil rights law, while the public university or the public college has an additional set of requirements towards neutrality in all settings than, say, a private school, racial discrimination is patently illegal in all settings.
Yes.
And so a private university can't say, as an example, well, we're only going to provide this career service to people of this particular skin color. And if you're not, you know, you're out of luck. That is completely illegal. I will also say that pretty much every private school in America gets truckloads of federal cash. And so there's also a lot of mythology about the idea of the truly private institution. The truly private institutions, and I don't have a comprehensive list, but tend to mostly be schools like Hillsdale, who don't take federal money as far as I'm aware.
That's right. Hillsdale's the only one that carves it out. And even some of the more traditional conservative ones, they'll take federal money as it goes towards that. So in closing here, Stephen, this is a call to action mostly for young people, it sounds like, but I don't think it's limited to that for our national audience, right? Which is
no,
if there's other
for your
people.
Your national audience, mid-career workers, late-career workers, workers at every stage and age in their career, this is a call to be champions for civil rights. This is a civil rights message. This is a civil rights call to action. I need you, your country needs you to help defeat this bigotry, because if it's allowed to win and if we're allowed to become a society that has explicit formalized discrimination in every aspect of American life, then the American dream is dead, equality is dead, the rule of law is dead. And I'll tell you this, a government that can decide whether you get a job or whether you get medicine, whether you get education based on your gender, sex, or skin color is a government and is a country that can take away any freedom and any right in any setting, and then no one's liberty is safe.
Yeah, and also this includes healthcare as well. And I know that might not resonate with people, but there are places in America where they are administering healthcare based on racial preferences and based on quote unquote equity agendas.
Yes.
AF
we
legal.
We have a lawsuit against New York on that very issue. Well, and so, again, if you're seeing it in the healthcare context, whether you are a medical student or whether you are a patient, get in touch with us, please.
AFlegal.org. Thank you so much, Stephen. Awesome job.
Thank you. God bless.
And we'll see you in Tampa. Thank you. I always love taking your thoughts here in this little time that we have together. So let's go to this one here. This actually is a better AMA one right here. Caleb asks about laws and what laws we should follow. We'll put that on our Ask Me Anything episode. By the way, we have a Ask Me Anything episode out right now that I encourage you guys to check out. How about this one? I have a question that's tormented me for a long time, Taylor writes. If a Mexican national woman slips across the border and gives birth, her child is automatically an American citizen, and said child is protected by the Constitution. In cases of abortion, a born child is set aside to die. Is he or she not an American citizen? Why are these children not afforded the same rights as a Mexican child? This aborted child, as an American citizen, is entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well said. The promise of the Declaration. I've heard over and over again that abortion is lawful. Since the Constitution doesn't clearly cover infanticide, SCOTUS cannot write law. Wouldn't Congress have to pass a bill to make it legal? Yeah, this is really important. I do want to reinforce the point here, which is that Congress never passed a law when it came to Roe versus Wade. They never passed a law making abortion the law of the land. And the way that Democrats describe Roe v. Wade, the way that they talk about it, they act as if Roe v. Wade, or they just call it Roe, was an act of Congress by using the legislative process. The reason why Alito and Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett and Gorsuch and Clarence Thomas, the reason they were able to repeal this, and they really don't think twice about it, is that they did not use, they being the 1970s, 1980s abortion fanatics, they did not use the legislative process to be able to make this law, regardless of your opinions on abortion, ours being very well known on this program. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg could not even defend Roe on legal or constitutional grounds. In fact, Ruth Bader Ginsburg for years was trying to tell Democrats, you guys better get this done in Congress, because there will be a court one day that very well might overturn this ruling. And the ruling, what happened, and it was either the Warren Court or the Burger Court. I always forget which one it is. Warren or Burger. Super corrupt 7-2 ruling. Lots of different really bad things happened in that ruling, and we can go into that. It was the Burger Court. Thank you. And effectively, they nationalized the entire right. They created a new right of abortion and overturned all these other laws that had state-based abortion policies. And by the way, do not be surprised if Obergefell next session gets brought up and gets overturned, because they use the exact same precedent. I can never pronounce it. Obergefell, Obergefell, whatever. Not exactly my strong suit of pronunciation of that. Okay, let's go to a piece of sound here that I wanted to get to. Amy Klobuchar, Cut 13, lays out a roadmap for Democrats getting 52 state seats in the Senate and codifying Roe v. Wade into law. Play Cut 13.
We can do this. This isn't some pipe dream. And we can assure that women across America are going to be making decisions about their own health care instead of some government official or Ted Cruz.
I just have to keep on repeating this point. I know it sounds so normy and so cliche, but where were these people on the vaccine mandate debate? They were on the exact opposite. Do they not understand the utter and transparent contradiction in everything they have been saying? Where in one breath, it's all about individual autonomy and sovereignty, and you could chart the course of your own medical decision as you see fit. And they just hours ago were, by the way, they're still firing people from the military right now for not taking an experimental gene therapy that they call a vaccine. Right now. And so at least be a little bit consistent. And just like the lack of awareness, Amy Klobuchar, yes, we want people to be able to make their own healthcare decisions. By the way, if you don't take the vaccine, you should be fired from your work. You see, this is one of the reasons why the abortion industry has lost so much ground. I believe the abortion advocacy organizations lost double-digit support when they did not come out and argue against mandatory vaccines. For months, I was not allowed to go into restaurants in Los Angeles, New York, or Chicago. I was not able to literally go into certain places because I didn't have a vaccine card. Members of the military are still being expelled because they did not take the vaccine. All the while, the people in charge of our society are super serious about us taking the vaccine while they're always talking about individual sovereignty. Let's go to cut one. Michael Becholos on MSNBC. Overturning Roe is authoritarian. Play cut one.
This is authoritarian. They're trying to say essentially, you in America who don't like the fact that we on the Supreme Court can basically shove down your throat something that a majority of you don't like, this is the new reality and you're going to have to deal with it. You know, Mika said at the beginning of the hour, she used the word fascism. Some people are going to find that a strong word. I find it a descriptive word because that's the essence of what we're talking about, which is a small minority essentially trying to dominate the politics of a country. When there is this kind of angry tyranny by the minority, it oftentimes leads to civil war.
Wow, that's a lot of... I mean, who is this guy exactly? Michael Becholos? Within a span of a couple minutes, he was... fascism, civil war, I find it to be descriptive. Oh, yes, that's very smart, Michael Becholos. Go straight to civil war. Just, I mean, send it back down to the States, civil war. You know what he hates? What's this guy? Michael Becholos? Becholos? Man, I have to say, total side note, I'm so blessed. With a last name like Kirk, I attribute some of my success to that. If my name was Charlie Becholos, I don't think our show would be very successful. All right. Welcome to the Charlie Becholos Show. Jeez, who would listen to that? Nope, turning the dial, unsubscribe from that. I'm very blessed. A lot of life is the blessings from the Lord, and the last name is part of it. The Charlie Becholos Show. Jeez. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And as always, support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.